Today's daf is Beitza Daf Gimel. We left off on the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis. We were going through the different explanations of the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah as to why it is that Beis Shammai holds a Beitza Shnol to Beyom Tov, you're allowed to eat, and Beis Hillel holds you are not allowed to eat. So once we go through the four different opinions as to what the Machlokas is about, the Gemara is going to explain why each opinion doesn't hold like the other opinions, what the problem is with each one. And then the Gemara is going to tell us that we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds of reason number four, which we haven't seen yet, called Mashkin Shazavu, based on a stira that he asks in Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Gemara is going to discuss that stira that Rabbi Yochanan asks in Rabbi Yehuda, a stira about Uchla de Ifras, and it's going to give three different approaches to how to answer the stira about Uchla de Ifras. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to bring a raya to the opinion of Rabba, which is the second of the four opinions. It's the one we learned yesterday, that we're dealing with the Tarnagolas HaMedes HaAchila, and the whole issue is about Hachana, about the concern of Hachana. Then the Gemara is going to give three possibilities why an egg would possibly not be batel, because there's going to be a brisa that says that an egg is not batel. So one possibility is going to be that it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. That's if we assume that we're dealing with that when the brisa says an egg is not batel, it's talking about a mukta egg, so it wouldn't be batel because it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. Another possibility is that an egg is chashuva, that it's considered a davar chashuv, and so it's a davar chashuv is not batel. And the third possibility is that it's a davar shebiminyan. So all those three concepts are critical concepts in Yerida and Hilchas Tarovos about when we apply Bittel and we don't apply Bittel, but they're first discussed over here. So let's see the Gemara. We are up to Rav Yosef Amar, two lines from the bottom of the page in Daf Beis Amud Beis. So again, to remind ourselves, the Mishnah at the very beginning had said on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that a Beitza Shnol to Beyom Tov, Beis Shammai holds one is allowed to eat, Beis Hillel holds one is not allowed to eat. So the Gemara wanted to know, what are they arguing about? What is the case of the Machlokas and what is the halachic basis of the Machlokas? So Rav Nachman had suggested that we're dealing with a chicken that's omedes legadol beitzim. It's meant to be megadol beitzim, and whoever holds of muksa also holds of nolet, whoever holds of nolet holds of muksa. So the machlokas is, do you hold of muksa? Beis Shammai is mekil, because Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, that there's no issue of muksa, mekil, there's no issue of nolet. Beis Hillel is machmir, because he holds there isn't it, like Rabbi Yehuda, there isn't this of muksa, mekil, there isn't this of nolet as well. The reason we didn't like that approach, the reason Rabba rejected that approach was that instead of arguing about Beitza, we could argue about the Tarnagolas itself. If it was the Tarnagolas, Ahmed is the God of Beitzim. So we should have argued whether the Tarnagolas can be eaten on Yantif or not. So Rabba suggested a second approach, that we're dealing with Tarnagolas, Ahmed is La Achila. So why would anything be a problem? Why would it be? Why would Beis Hillel have an issue with the egg that comes out of Tarnagolas, Ahmed is La Achila? Shouldn't we say that it's Uchla Dofras, that it's food that has just been taken from other food? So he said, no, the machlokas is about Rabba's opinion of Hachana, that there's a dinda oraisa, it sounds like, according to Rabba, that we learn from a pasuk that something that is prepared on Yom Tov for Shabbos or on Shabbos for Yom Tov is asur. And we're specifically talking in our Mishnah, not stam about a Beitza Shnol to be Yom Tov, but about a Beitza Shnol to be Yom Tov that falls out on Sunday, when the previous day was Shabbos. So that's going to be an issida oraisa according to the Beis Hillel, because the Beis Hillel, we're assuming like the Shita of Rabba, that there is such an Isser D'Oraisa. That was the second approach to understanding the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in our Mishnah. Now the third approach, Rav Yosef Amar, Gzeira Mishum Peros HaNoshrin, that it's a Gzeira, we're afraid that if we allow one to eat an egg that came out of a chicken, then a person's also going to eat a fruit that fell off of a tree on Yantif, and the two will easily be confused for each other. So Amle Abaye Peros HaNoshrin Taim Amai Gzeira Shamiyal Vietlos. Wait a second, what's the whole problem with Peros HaNoshrin in the first place? If a fruit falls off a tree, why are you not allowed to eat it? It's all a gzeira that we're afraid you're going to go climb the tree and pick a fruit off of the tree. Well, he gufa gzeira, v'na nekum v'nigzar, thank you, v'na nekum v'nigzar, gzeira l'gzeira, it itself is only a gzeira. Peros HaNoshrin itself is only a gzeira. So we should be worried that you might, that if an egg comes out of a chicken, you might confuse that with Peros HaNoshrin. We should make a gzeira atu Peros HaNoshrin. Peros HaNoshrin itself is a gzeira. Isn't that a gzeira l'gzeira? We don't make gzeira l'gzeira. We only make a single gzeira. So says Rav Shechter in his notes on Beitza discusses what the concept of Anan Nekum Nigzer Gzer L'Gzer. Is it that Chazal were not entitled to make a Gzer L'Gzer, or that they chose not to make a Gzer L'Gzer? I mean, Chazal could do whatever they want in terms of the Gzeros they could make in Klal Yisrael, but when making Gzeros, that was one of the things that they tried their best to stick with. Or no, maybe that the limits on Mishmartimus Mishmarti, limits on Asusiyag L'Torah, are that they're only allowed to make a siyag, but not a siyag l'siyag. Maybe that's a limitation on the koach of Chazal and what they are allowed to ask or not allowed to ask. Anyway, the Gemara answers, kula chad gzerahi. No, over here it's not a gzera l'gzera, it's all one gzera. So what does that mean, it's all one gzera? When do we say that something is a gzera l'gzera, and when do we say, nah, don't worry, it's all one gzera? What makes it one gzera? So says Rashi, kula chad gzerahi, lo shetezu gzera delo leisil de peros anoshrin. It's not that they made a gzera of peros anoshrin, fruit falls off a tree, don't eat it because you might come to pick fruit off a tree. And then at some later date they said, you know what, an egg comes out of a chicken, don't eat that because people will confuse that for Peros HaNoshrin. That's not what happened. Elka shenimnu v'gazru al Peros HaNoshrin af beitza ha'isa b'mashma v'yavagav d'lespa mishum t'lisha miyum mechal gzeres chal ma'isa shafi priya nosher. That when the Chazal got together and decided to aser Peros HaNoshrin, included in that original gzera at that same time was a beitza shenolda, was an egg that was laid as well, because that's also called Peros HaNoshrin. That's what it means, kula chad gzera. That it was all part of the same original move to make that original gzeira. That's how Rashi understands that it was all done at one time. There are other approaches in Rishonim, however. Tosas and Maseches Brachos and Daf Nun Gimel and the Rashba Maseches Chulin and Daf Kuf Dalid say Chad Gezeira is in a situation where if we do not go and make that second Gezeira, the first Gezeira is going to suffer. People are not going to properly observe the first Gezeira, meaning the second Gezeira is critical in order to protect the first Gezeira. Otherwise, the first Gezeira will turn out to have been a waste because no one's going to observe it anyway. Anyway, that's when we say kula chad gzeirahi. Gzeira l'gzeira is that we don't do is when the first gzeira could have stood just fine without the second gzeira. That's what it sounds like the Rambam is saying in Pirush HaMishnayos as well. In the fourth paragraph of Masechet Shabbos, Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, v'hu inyan amram kula chad gzeirahi rotz lomar ki misha gazer zos hagzeira ra'a shalo tiskayim zos hagzeira Ella b'gzeira acheres t'chazekosa v'tismochosa l'ficha kazer shtei gzeiros yachad. That if whoever was making the first gzeira saw it wasn't going to work unless they put a second gzeira in place, that's when we say kulacha d'gzeirahi. So again, Rashi understands that kulacha d'gzeirahi is about timing, that at the time they made the first gzeira, they made the second gzeira as well, it was all together as one issue, whereas the Tosfos and the Rashba and the Rambam seem to assume it's not about timing, but it's about how necessary the second gezeira is for the first gezeira. The Meiri has a third approach. The Meiri Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Dalet says chad gezeira is when the two things are so similar to each other that it looks like gezeira achas. It relates to the similarity of the two gezeiros. That if the two gezeiros are so similar to each other, then we can say kula chad gezeirahi. That pri and the beitz are so similar to each other. It's food coming out from other coming out from something else. So that's when we say kula chad gezeirahi. But if the two gezeiros don't seem at all similar to each other, then we don't say kula chad gzeirahi. Good, so that's the concept of kula chad gzeira. But the third approach, again, is that it's all based on the reason that the Beit HaShnolda would be usher, according to the Beis Hillel, is because of this concern of Peros HaNoshrin, that it looks just like Peros HaNoshrin, is therefore included in the gzeira of Peros HaNoshrin. Fourth approach, Rav Yitzchak Amar, gzeira mishum mashkin shazavu, also says it's a gzeira, but a different gzeira. It's a gzeira because it's very similar to liquids that seep out of fruits, and liquids that seep out of fruits on Yantif, you're also not allowed to have, as Rashi points out in the first skinny line, that if liquids seep out of fruit, you're not allowed to eat that, drink that liquid on Shabbos. So too, a beitza seeps out or just spills right out of the hen, and therefore right out of the chicken, and therefore it's considered to be the same gzera. So the same question we're going to ask. Amalei Abaye, Mashkan Shezavu time am I? What's the whole reason that Mashkan Shezavu is a problem? It's all a gzera shemi yischa. It's all a gzera that we're afraid you're going to squeeze the liquid out. Well, he gufa gzera vana nekum nigzer gzera l'gzera. That itself is only a gzera. So why should we make a gzera l'gzera that eggs should be a problem because you might come to then be matir Mashkan Shezavu, which itself is only a problem because you might come to do schita. That's a gzera l'gzera. We don't make gzera l'gzera. Answers Gemara again. Kula chada gzera hi. No, it's not a gzera l'gzera. It's all one big gzera. So as long as it's all one big gzera, again, l'markadisle, the three different shitos and rishonim, what that means, but you plug that in over here as well. That for whichever reason, we consider it one gzera here, not a gzera l'gzera. Good, so now we have four different approaches to how to deal with the machlokes b'sham b'sil in our Mishnah. Which is the most logical approach? Which is the best approach? So says Gemara, kulu krav nach and lo amri ki kushyan. Nobody else wanted to say like Rav Nachman's approach. Rav Nachman's approach was the first of the four approaches, that it was all about a tarnagol that was omedes legadal beitzim, and the whole reason that Beis Shammai was mekel is because he doesn't hold of muktzah. So they didn't want to say like that because of the question that we asked, that instead of arguing about the beitzah, they could have argued about the tarnagol itself, or at least about both of them. You want to say koch leter, they should have at least argued about both the Beitza and the Tarnagolas. So that Kasha, all of the other Amoraim thought was such a strong Kasha that nobody else wanted to say like Rav Nachman's Pshat in our Mishnah. They also didn't want to say like the second pshat in the Mishnah, like Rabba's pshat in the Mishnah, that it's all based on this Isur D'oraisa called Hachana, that something can't be prepared on Shabbos for Yantif or on Yantif for Shabbos, and that's some sort of an Isur D'oraisa, because they don't hold of such an Isur D'oraisa. They don't hold of the Isur called Hachana. So we understand why the last two opinions, why Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak don't agree with Rabba, with Rav Nachman and Rabba's approaches. El Rav Yosef, my time alone with Rav Yitzchak. But why does Rav Yosef reject Rav Yitzchak's approach that it's Gzeri Mishem Mashkin Shazavu? What's wrong with saying that it's Gzeri? Why would you prefer to say it's Gzeri Mishem Peres Anoshrin than to say it's Gzeri Mishem Mashkin Shazavu? So Amalach, so he might tell you, Beitza uchla uperos uchla. A beitza is food, and peros are food. Lafuke mashkin de lavuchla, as opposed to a drink, which is not food. Mashkin shazavu are liquids. That's not food. So he thinks it's not at all comparable to mashkin shazavu. Mashkin shazavu is liquids. A beitza is food. So we'd much rather compare it to peros hanoshrin, says Rav Yosef. I'd much rather compare it to peros hanoshrin, because peros hanoshrin are much more similar to an egg. They're both food items, as opposed to drinks. Rav Yitzchak, my time alone with Rav Yosef. Okay, so why didn't Rav Yitzchak see that? Why didn't Rav Yitzchak want to say that it's like Rav Yosef, that it's much more comparable to Peres HaNoshrin than it is to Mashkin Shazavu? Samalach, no, he might tell you, Beitza Blua Mashkin Bluin, Lafuke Peres the Megala V'kaimu, that no, the Beitza is much more similar to the liquids that seep out of fruits, in that they both start off absorbed inside of something else, as opposed to fruits that fall off of a tree were never absorbed inside of something else. They just were attached to the tree and they fell out of the tree. So that's why the Rav Yitzchak thinks it's much more comparable to Mashkin Shazavu, than even though Beitz is a food and the Mashkin Shazavu are liquids, still it's much more comparable to Mashkin Shazavu because they're coming from inside something else, as opposed to Peres HaNoshrin, which is not coming from inside anything else. Now it's interesting, the Svara that the Gemara said, that the reason that Rav Yosef doesn't want to say like Rav Yitzchak is because a beitz is so much more similar to Peres HaNoshrin, since it's food and it's not a drink. What makes a beitz a food and not a drink? Why is a beitz considered food and not a drink? You ever open up an egg? It looks pretty drinky to me. It looks like a liquid, right? It is a liquid. So why is a beitz considered to be food and not a drink? So Shechla has a long piece in this Bikvei Atzon in Siman Vav, where he points out that the chiluk between halachically what we consider food and what we consider a drink is not the same as a chiluk between what's a liquid and what's a solid. Liquid and solid is one chiluk. food and drink is a halachic chilek. And the chilek between food and drink is what a person would use l'shtia, what do you have as a beverage, and what do you not have as a beverage. The nafkamina would be for a shir for bracha achrona. Is it shiro b'kazayis? Is it shiro b'revias? Or what's the shir? So if it's something that one would eat as a food and would not have it as a beverage, then it would have a din of a food when it comes to bracha achrona. So for instance, if a person eats soup and they don't consider that to be a beverage in the meal, they consider that to be part of the food of the meal, even though it's a liquid. In fact, it's explicit in Tosos and Masechah Shabbos. Tosos writes that Chalav Isha is a mashkehu, and therefore it's Ein Tzarech Hechsher. Chalav Isha, in order for it to be Mekabel Tumah, milk from a woman, doesn't need actual Mekabel Tumah because it already is a mashka. So it sounds like that whatever is Befia Tinok, the Tinok is Yonik, and that's considered to be an Ochel. So Tosos says, why is the Chalav Isha in the mouth of a Tinok considered an Ochel and not a mashka? So he says, Lufisha Zeu Ma'achalo Shel Tinok, because that's the food of the tino, meaning the child isn't having a petaros mashka. The child is having a petaros meichel, because that's the whole sustenance of the kid. So since he's not having it as a beverage, memele doesn't have a din of a beverage. That's Rav Elchanan's ha'ara right here. Rav Elchanan writes in Kovit Shurim, Amaseches Beitza, right here, that a beitza is uchla lafuke mashka de lav uchla, because a beitza chaya, even though it's lach and not gush, even though it is liquid and is not solid, it has a din of nochel, not mashkin, legabe kabbalah stomach, because it's not a beverage. So based on that, we can answer the kasha of Minchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Kuf Mem Ches, wonders why it is that sometimes the Rambam talks about a shir shtia for mashkin being a revius, and sometimes he talks about a shir b'kazayis. So it could be that it's not that it's a stir in the Rambam. When the Rambam uses a shir revius, he's assuming that we're dealing with a liquid that's a beverage. When the Rambam uses a shir kazayis for a liquid, he's assuming we're dealing with a liquid that is that's not a beverage. Prima Gadim says that when it comes to borscht, it's roi levarichel of bor pri adama, like maya diarakos. It's like the vegetable juice you would make a bor pri adama on. Now wait a second, why not make a shakel if it's a drink? No, elamai, it's not a drink. Even though it's a liquid, it may not be a drink because you don't have it as a beverage. You have it as a food. And the Prima Gadim also talks about coffee, that says you make a bracha of shakel on coffee, even though maya deshalki kishalki, that normally the water that you cook vegetables in have the same din as the vegetables. So why is coffee a shahakal? Because again, based on the idea that it's a beverage. So Rav Shachter points out, based on this, yesh ladun on the minhag ha'olam, that people make a shahakal on schnapps. Because in the Sefer Shari Rachamim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes, in Os Mem Tes, why is it that people make kiddush on schnapps on Shabbos morning? Because they assume that it's Chamar Medina. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that it's like making kiddush on soup. That it's not, how could you call it Chamar Medina? What does he mean it's like making kiddush on soup? I mean, he means that exactly this, that the whole chiluk between an ochel and a mashke is not in whether it's liquid or whether it's a solid. The whole chiluk is whether you use it as a beverage or you don't use it as a beverage. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner thought that the way people drink vodka and the way people drink schnapps is not a beverage, because they don't drink it when they're thirsty. You don't drink it as a beverage. You drink it to get into a certain state of mind or whatever, but it's not a beverage in the classical sense in Rav Chaim Volozhiner's judgment. In fact, the Kozhik lover, the Eretz Tzvi, thought that he used that same svara to explain why people make kiddush on a very tiny amount of schnapps. He said, "Oh, you make kiddush on a tiny amount of schnapps; it's less than a revius because it's at least a shir kazayis. The little shot glasses are shir kazayis, and it doesn't have a din of a beverage; it has a din of a ochel. So mainly, you only need a shir kazayis. You don't need a shir revius." That was the Torah of the Kozhik lover. So Shach pointed out, it's very difficult, because if you're going to say that schnapps is chamar medina, probably the first thing you need to say is that it's a beverage. Something can't be the chamar medina, the basic beverage of the place, if it's not a beverage to begin with. So to use that same Torah of Chaim Volozhiner to say it's not a beverage to explain why people make kiddush on it in smaller shiurim, that will explain the smaller shiur, but it won't explain how you're allowed to make kiddush on it in the first place. That's also, it also calls into question Ramesh's tshuva. Ramesh has a tshuva in Yardei Chelek Aleph about several tshuvas in a row, not a tshuva. He and Rabbi Teitz went back and forth. Rabbi Teitz from Elizabeth. Rabbi Teitz wanted to ask for all the blended whiskey. these. And Rabbi Meisha said it's mutter. And Rabbi Taitz wanted to hold shuvah, but what about this, this, and this? Rabbi Meisha said it's still mutter. And Rabbi Taitz went back and forth. They kept on going back and forth. Rabbi Taitz very much was pushing Rabbi Meisha to aser it, and he wouldn't give in. He was makel on the blended whiskeys. So one of the svaras that he uses to be makel is that even though yayin that gets mixed with shar mashkim is because meikra din, we paskin that yayin that gets mixed with shar mashkim is batal b'sheish. You don't need shishim. It's batal b'sheish, like if it were mixed with water. And therefore, stam yenam that gets mixed in with the whiskey is batal b'dyevin b'sheish. You don't need shishim. So, l'chora, one could argue, if you take this whole Torah of Chaim Velazhiner, that it wouldn't have a din of being mixed with mayim, because being mixed with mayim assumes that it's being mixed with another beverage. But if you're mixing it with something that's a tavshil, let's say you were to mix yayin in your soup, so then it definitely wouldn't have a din of sheish. It would have a din of shishim. You would need bitul b'shishim. You wouldn't need bitul b'sheish, would not work. So if you argue that the whiskey doesn't have a din of a mashka, that it has a din of a food, so sheish wouldn't work. Shishim would be necessary if you hold like that vart of Chaim Velazhiner and the Kajaglav. Anyway, so that's all just based on the fact that the Gemara over here refers to it refers to the egg as a food rather than as a liquid. Good. So says the Gemara further now. Rabbi Yochanan Savar Gzeru Mishum Mashkin Shazavu. Rabbi Yochanan also holds of the concept of a Gzeru Mishum Mashkin Shazavu, that the meaning Rabbi Yochanan also holds that the reason Beis Hillel is Machmir in our Mishnah is because it's similar to Mashkin Shazavu, like Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion, like the final opinion over here of Rabbi Yitzchak. So how do I know that? Rabbi Yochanan Rami Rabbi Yuda Rabbi Yuda Mishani. We know that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's a Gzeru Mishum Mashkin Shazavu based on a stira he asks in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and how he answers that stira in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. What's the stira? How does he answer it? So Tanan, we have a Mishnah on the one hand that says, Ein sochten es haperos lahotzi mehen mashkin. One is not allowed to squeeze peros in order to draw out mashkin, in order to draw out fruit, in order to draw out liquid from the peros. Vim yatsu me'atzman asurin. And if the mashkin flow out on their own, sometimes you have a fruit plate, and on the bottom of the fruit plate, when you finish eating the fruit, there's liquid that gathers there. So if they came out on their own, they're aser. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it depends. Im li ochlin hayotzi mehen muter. If the fruit were fruit that was gathered to eat, then that which comes out of them is mutter. But meaning these weren't juicing fruits, these were fruits that you wanted to eat as fruits. So then we're not going to make an isser of mashkin shazavu, because what's the whole isser? The whole isser is a gezera shema yiskot, that you might come to squeeze the fruit. Well, if you have your cantaloupe to eat cantaloupe, and you don't have your cantaloupe in order to squeeze the cantaloupe and get cantaloupe juice, so there's no concern that the cantaloupe juice is going to be a problem, because you're never going to squeeze, you're not going to come to squeeze cantaloupe to make cantaloupe juice. It's obvious that you're just having it as a fruit. V'im l'mashkin, but if it's the kind of fruit that you use l'mashkin, that it's a juicing fruit, then hayotze mehen aser, then that which seeps out of them, that which seeps out of the grapes and the olives that you want to use for wine making or for oil making, that's going to be aser. So alma kol ochlin Rabbi Yehuda uchla de'ifrasu. So you see that all food, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we assume is considered to be uchla de'ifrasu. As Rashi points out, midika amar imli ochlin ayotzimen mutter. Anything that is a food that's meant to be used as a food, whatever comes out of it is considered just to be a piece of the food. And is not part of the gezer of mashkin shazavu. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion on the one hand. So we have Rabbi Yehuda saying on record that something that seeps out of food is just considered a piece of the food and is totally fine, is totally permissible, is not a problem. And then Raminu, but we have another statement of Rabbi Yehuda that seems to contradict it, that va'odam Rabbi Yehuda also says, masna adam al kalkala shel peros b'yom tov rishon va'ochla b'sheni. The case is, a person has a basket of fruits of tevel, and he forgot to take maisros from it before yantiv. The halacha is, you're not allowed to take chumas and maisros on yantiv. So what is he to do? He wants to use this basket of fruits, but it's all tevel. So the halacha is that he can take the maisros on yantiv with the following tanai. He said, on the first day of yantiv with the following tanai, Shabbatai. He could say, if today is really a weekday and tomorrow is really Yontif, so then whatever I'm separating now should be Truma Maisos, because now I'm allowed to take Truma Maisos if today is really a weekday. But if today is really the Yom Kodesh, if today is really the first day of Yom Tov, and tomorrow is second day, and tomorrow is not Yontif, then whatever I'm saying now you could ignore it. Then what I'm doing now it should be meaningless. And then the next day, and then he should mark off which fruits he just said that about. And then the next day he should say it again. If today the second day is really a weekday, and yesterday was Yontif, so then I'm being mafresh Shumas Maisos right now. And if today is really Yontif, and yesterday was really a weekday, so what I took yesterday should count as Shumas Maisos. That's what a person should do with his tevel that he forgot to be mafresh Shumas Maisos before Yontif. V'chein, but Rabbi Yehuda goes on to say, V'chein beitza shenolda berishon, tochal b'sheni. Also, a beitza that's nolad on the first day can be eaten on the second day. A beitza that comes out that's laid on the first day of Yontif, one is allowed to eat on the second day of Yontif. I b'sheni in berishon lo. But you see, clearly, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can eat it on the second day, but not on the first day of Yontif. So don't you see, says Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda? On the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda held that anything that comes off of food is just uchladorfras, is just... it's just a piece of the food and it's totally fine. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Beit HaShenolda is a problem. So you see that a Beit HaShenolda is a problem, that we don't just consider it uchla deferus, we don't just consider it a piece of the food. Now, right there, just from the fact that he asks this as a stira, shows us that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the whole issue of a Beit HaShenolda is mashkin shazavu, because otherwise it's not a stira. What's the whole stira? He asks that in one place, the Rabbi Yehuda is makil about liquid that comes out of fruit, and then in the other place, he's machmir about an egg that comes out of a chicken. What does an egg coming out of a chicken have to do with liquid coming out of fruits? That only works if you assume that the whole isser of the egg coming out of the chicken is based on mashkin shazavu, is based on the isser of liquid coming out of fruits. That's the raya that Rabbi Yochanan must hold, like Rabbi Yitzchak, like the fourth approach, that the whole problem in our Mishnah is mashkin shazavu, is that the liquid is coming out of the fruits. So how did Rabbi Yochanan deal with this stira? Umeshani Rabbi Yochanan mechlefas hashita. Rabbi Yochanan says that mechlefas hashita, that we have to switch around the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, we have it mixed up. The shita of the Mishnah that ain't sochten, we should switch around Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, right? Not the second Mishnah, because the second Mishnah there only was one shita. The first Mishnah that had ain't sochten, where we had two shitos, we should switch around the shitos. So again, the raya is mitkamir miluhu adadi shramina chataymuhu. From the fact that we ask that Rabbi Yochanan even asks this as a stira, you see that Rabbi Yochanan clearly holds that the whole issue is a mashkin shazavu issue and nothing else. Now, Masechta Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Masechta Shabbos, the Kuf Mem Gimel and Beis. Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda by Shar Peros, and he says the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda by Zesim va'anavim. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan holds the halacha that peros that are omi la'achila and not for mashkin, we don't make a gzera of mashkin shazavu. Zeis ma'anavim, which are typically mostly meant to be used for mashke, they were meant to be used to get oil and to get wine. So even when the liquid seeps out of it on its own, we assume he's no sin daito aleim l'mashke. So Tosav there asks, how could Rabbi Yochanan make a gzera on Beit HaShenolda b'Yom Tov mishum mashkin shazavu? Rabbi Yochanan himself holds that even fruits are not a gzera mishum mashkin shazavu, meaning you don't even have a problem of mashkin shazavu on fruits. By peros themselves, except for zeisim anavim, he doesn't ask for the mashkin that comes out of them. So by a chicken, you're going to ask for the egg that comes out of it? He wouldn't even say it by an orange. He says it by a chicken. So Tosus over there says that by beitzo, there's more reason to be gozer, because it's medesli hisachet mina tarnagolas, and it's going to be squeezed out. It's going to come out of the chicken, and it's derech bnei adam legom achaya, and people typically do sometimes have eggs raw. Therefore, it's more like zeisim anavim, which are omed the schita for mashkin. But other peros are not omed the sachet at all. They're only meant to be used for achila. So therefore, they're not goes around the mashkin that comes out of them. That's how Tosfos deals with it in Masechta Shabbos, with this fundamental problem. Okay, now once the Gemara had raised this stira in Rabbi Yehuda, that how could Rabbi Yehuda on the one hand say that a beitza shenolda on yantif is a problem, and on the other hand say that liquid that seeps out of fruits is not a problem, so the Gemara is going to give two other answers to the stira. One answer to the stira, again, was Rabbi Yochanan's answer. Just switch around the shittas of Rabbi Yehuda. We messed it up in the first citation, and that Rabbi Yehuda says what the Rabbanan said. The Rabbanan really say what Rabbi Yehuda said. Okay, but now a second approach. Ravina Amar, li'olam lo tepuch. Don't switch around anything. Rabbi Yehuda le'devreim d'Rabbanan kamar lehu. When Rabbi Yehuda spoke about an egg being mutter on the second day of Yantiv, an egg that was laid on the first day being mutter only on the second day of Yantiv, he was only talking with Devreim Derabbanan. He was saying, according to you, Rabbanan, that hold that a Beitza Shenolda on Yantiv is a problem in the first place, at least be moda that on the second day of Yantiv it's mutter. And what he's saying is as follows, Lidi D, if you ask me, Rabbi Yehuda says, Afil Brisho Nami Sharia, I think it's even mutter on the first day of Yantiv, because it's food that came apart from other food, so it's totally fine. Elolinditchu, but even according to your own logic, odulumias to b'sheni sharia to shtei kedusha saying, at least be moda to me that on the second day of Yantiv it's already going to be mutter because it's a totally separate kedusha. It's a new kedusha sayom on the second day of Yantiv. And what did the rabbanon respond? V'armi the rabbanon lo. Kedusha achasi. The rabbanon say, no, it's not true. It's not a second kedusha. It's not a different kedusha. It's all kedusha achas. So they disagree. The rabbanon do not accept Rabbi Yehuda's argument. But that's the second way of answering the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Third way of answering the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina breid Ravula amar hacha betarnagolos hamedes legadol beitzim. Rabbi Yehuda tamei dis lemuksa. That when Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a problem with an egg that was laid by a chicken on Yantif, we're talking about a chicken that was omedes legadol beitzim. It's not Ochladorfus, because the chicken was not meant to be food. The chicken was meant to be Megadol Beitzim, and Rabbi Yehuda holds of Muksa. Rabbi Yehuda is just subscribing to the basic concept of Muksa. So, frankly, Gemara Meisvei, but Alaska Kasha this Meisvei doesn't go back on this last line. It goes back on the broader discussion. We had four different shittos as to what the problem with an egg that's laid on Yantif might be. So, from what we're about to quote, we're going to be able to prove which shita is correct. So, Meisvei, Echad Beitza Shenolda B'Shabbos, Vechad Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov. When you have an egg that's laid on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, Ein Metaltan Nasa, you're not allowed to be Metaltan, you're not allowed to move it. Lo Lechasos Parasa Kli, you're not allowed to move it even if you want to use it to cover up a Kli. You have the opening of a bottle or something that you want it to cover, not allowed to move it for that. Velo Lismach Bakire Amita, if you think the egg is strong enough to support a bedpost, and the bed is a little shaky, so you want it to support one side of the bedpost to make it not shaky, so you're not allowed to use the egg for that, you're not allowed to be metaltal the egg in order to be somich bakari amita. But if you want, what you can do is you could put a kli over it to prevent it from breaking. Meaning, if you're afraid that the egg just lying around is going to break, and now but you can't move it because it was just laid on Yantif, so you're not allowed to move the egg. So what you could do is take another kli, put it over the egg so that the egg won't break. So sveika asura. Not only that, the Brice goes on to say a suffake egg. When you have a suffake whether the egg was laid on Yantif, it's asur. Vim nesarva be'elef kulan asura. Not only that, if the egg that was laid on Yantif gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, all of them are asr. So says Gemara, wait a second, why is a suffake egg that was no lev asr? According to Rabbah, that the issue was one of Hachana, the second of the four approaches, so I understand very well why we're going to be Machmer Misafik, because Rabbah holds we're dealing with the Din Daraisa over here. Safik Daraisa L'chumra makes plenty of sense that we're going to be Machmer even Misafik. El Rav Yosef, El Rav Yitzchak, Damer Mishum Gzeira, Sveket Rabbanon Hu, V'kol Sveket Rabbanon L'kula. But according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, that the whole issue, and Rav Nachman we've already rejected. We already said why no one wants to say like Rav Nachman, right? So we've already rejected Rav Nachman. But Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, who say that it's all an issue of Gzeira, whether it be a Gzeira of Peros HaNoshrin, or whether it be a Gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu, but it's all a Gzeira, it's all Din Drabanan. So why are we going to be Machmir Misafik? That should be Safik Drabanan Lakula. So isn't that a raya that Rab is correct? Answers the Gemara, no, when this Brisa says that a Safik is Mutter, it's not talking about a Safik of an egg that was no Nolad and Yantif. Some had a different halacha of an egg that has nothing to do with Nolad and Yantif. Seifa Asan, the Safik Trefa. Seifa is talking about if you have a Safik Trefa, you have an egg that you're not sure if it came from a chicken that was a Trefa or not. And anything that's Yotzim in Asr is Asr. If the chicken's a Trefa, the eggs that come from it are Trefas as well. They're not allowed to be eaten. So that's the whole issue. It came from a Safik Trefa, so that's a Safik Daraisa. You have a Safik, whether it's Trefa or not a Trefa, but nothing to do with the Safik Beitza Shnol de Biyomtov. Maybe an Echnami, a Safik Beitza Shnol de Biyomtov, would taka be mutter. Now, before we go further in that line of questioning, an important Tosos over here, Rashi and Tosos, we said that if the egg, you're not allowed to move the egg that was Nolad and Yantiv, but the Braisa said what you could do to protect it is take another kli and cover it with the other kli. So Rashi says, even though you can't move the egg, you move the kli for it. And this is to tell me against Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak holds that any kli, even a kli shemlachta laheter, any kli that you move, you're only allowed to move it if you're moving it for the sake of something that itself could be moved. Meaning, if you're moving it to protect something else, it's got to be moved to protect something else that itself you're allowed to move. But if you're moving it for the sake of an egg that you're not allowed to move, that would be aser. What's Rabbi Yitzchak going to say? Why are you allowed to be kofal of as a kli? V'iyu mukila b'tzarech l'makomo shel kli. He's going to say you're right. Typically, you're not allowed to move a kli unless you're moving it for the sake of something else that's allowed to be moved. But let's say you're moving the kli l'tzarech makomo. You're moving the kli anyway because you need the place where the kli is taking up. So once you're moving it l'tzarech makomo, you could bring it all the way to where the egg is and cover the egg with it. Meaning Rabbi Yitzchak would assume that you already have a heter tiltal on the kli. So once you already have a heter to be metalta the kli, so then you can keep on bringing it, just bring it to where the egg is and use it to protect the egg. So based on that, says Tosfos, that mikan poskin, that when you, from here we paskin, that if you have, let's say, a klisha melachta l'isser, which we paskin, a klisha melachta l'isser, something that you normally use for something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, and is a form of muktzah, we paskin that you're allowed to move a klisha melachta l'isser l'tzorach gufo, or l'tzorach makomo. If, let's say, you have a klisha melachta l'isser sitting on your dining room table, and you need your dining room table to be able to eat your meal, so you're allowed to move the klisha melachta l'isser off of the dining room table. The telephone is left on the dining room table. Someone left the phone on the dining room table. And now you're trying to set the table on Shabbos day. You ate out Friday night, you're trying to set the table Shabbos day. So can you move the phone off the table? Yes, because you need makomo, so you're allowed to move it off. So says Tosos, but not only are you allowed to move it off the table, what we see from here is, and then you could then bring it to wherever you want to bring it. You can continue to be metalpilit to bring it to wherever you want, because you see by the Beitza that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, even though you're not allowed to be metalpilikli, but you're allowed to bring it to wherever the beitza is. You're allowed to bring it all the way. Once you're maskil to be metaltalit, beheter, you're allowed to continue to be metaltalit wherever it is that you're going to need it. Now in Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, in Simreish Samach Vav, the Rama writes that it's mutter to be metaltal the sakin shal mila after the mila kedei la'atznio, to put away the knife that you use for the bris mila. But the Maril says that right away after the mila, drop it. You can't take the knife to, even though you're holding it already, you're ready being metalted, and it was mutter for you to pick it up in the first place because you're doing the mitzvah of bris milah. So the Gra explains that the Maril is correct, that it's aser. What about the fact that our Tosel says that we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that once you're ready moving kli shemlach to l'isser, you're allowed to continue to move it? He said, yeah, that's a heter by kli shemlach to l'isser, which is a certain form of muktzah. It's a lesser form of muktzah. When you have a higher form of muktzah, like a sakin shalmila, which is what we call muktzah machmas chesron kiss, something that's muktzah machmas chesron kiss, you're not allowed to be metaltal tzorach gufo tzorach makomo. So even if you have a situation where you're already being metaltal it because you're allowed to because it's for a bris mila, but there's no heter tzorach gufo tzorach makomo, memela, there's also no heter to continue to be metaltal it once the mitzvah is over. That's how the Gra explains the sheet of the Maril, which at first glance seems to be against his Tosos, but he says no, it's not against his Tosos, it's a different form of muktzah. Muktzah machmas chesron kiss is defined as something that you would never use use for anything other than its designated purpose out of fear of ruining it. So Sakan Shalmila, the Mola is very careful. He's not going to use his Sakan Shalmila to, you know, as a pocket knife for something else, because he doesn't want to ruin his Sakan Shalmila. Shochet's knives also. That would be Muksam Machmas Chasrum Kis. Is Yesh Ladun, there's what to be argued about, whether an iPhone is Muksam Machmas Chasrum Kis, or whether it's a Klisham Lachtel Isser. It probably depends on how the owner of the phone treats the phone. It probably depends how careful people are. Some people will use it as a paperweight, will use it to entertain their children if the kid is bored, so the infant to eat it or whatever, to bite on it, use it as a chewing toy. And some people are a little more careful and would not do that. So it probably depends on that, whether it would be a klishem lach delisser or muksa machnas chesron kis. Anyway, further in the Gemara, so the Gemara had said that seifa asal nesafik trefa, right? That the case of a beitza that we said that misafik is going to be aser is not talking about a beitza shenal to be yom tov at all. It's talking about a beitza that's a safik trefa. So it's an issue on a daraisa level. I hachi ema seifa. But wait a second. The braisa went on to say nisarva be'elef kula nasuros, that if the beitza gets mixed in with 1,000 others, they're all aser. So iyan pishlam a safik yom tov safik chol havi davar sheish lamatirin v'kol davar sheish lamatirin. That makes plenty of sense if you assume that the issue is that it was laid on Yantiv, or that it was a suffix whether it was laid on Yantiv. Then I understand why it's not going to be batel, because it's a davar sheyesh lamatirin. Meaning, if the issue is one of muktza, so there's a very easy way to solve the muktza problem. Wait till Yantiv is over, and then you don't have a muktza problem anymore. That's the concept of davar sheyesh lamatirin. Anything that you could just wait, and eventually it's going to be mutter anyway. So we're not going to rely on any kunsim to make it mutter now on bittul and suffix. No, we're going to say it's us now, because you might as well just wait. That's how Rashi understands davar sheyesh lamatirin. That you might as well just wait till it becomes mutter, and then you don't have to rely on anything fancy to make a mutter now. The Ran's understanding of davar sheyesh lamatirin, there's a well-known Ran in the Dorim, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, where the Ran understands that the reason davar sheyesh lamatirin is not batel, it does not become batel, is that the principle of bittul assumes that there's a conflict between two opposite qualities, between two things that oppose each other, and that which is the larger is mevatel, it swallows up the smaller thing, and it therefore it overpowers all of the characteristics of the lesser item. But says the Ran, we have that when it comes to halacha as well. We have something that's mutter, something that's aser, so the heter can overwhelm the characteristics of iser. But if even the Isser is a davar sheyesh lamatirin, even the Isser has latent characteristics of heter, at its very core it's really a devar heter, well then there can't be bittul, because the heter can't overpower it, because there's no conflict. It can only overpower when there's conflict. So it's just like if you drop some trefa chicken soup into kosher chicken soup. Why is it not batel? Milk into chicken soup will be batel, because the chicken soup overwhelms the milk, and the milk is kilu, it's not there. But chicken soup and chicken soup, it all helps each other. It all enhances the flavor. It's not mevah. It's working together. They're not working against each other. So he says in halacha as well, if you have a dvar heter and a dvar isser, they work against each other. So the heter can overwhelm the isser. But when you have a dvar heter and an isser that will one day be mutter, so it's like a heter and heter. So they don't overwhelm each other, adrabah, they enhance each other. So therefore the isser is never going to be batel. That's okay, but those are just different svaras for why it is that davar sheyesh lamatirin is not going to be batel. So that works well if you assume that we're dealing with muktz over here. Eliyamet safik trefa, davar shein lamatirin hu v'tibatel beruba. But if we're dealing with the safik trefa, and it has nothing to do with muktza, it's just the safik that it might be a trefa, then it's a davar shein lamatirin. A trefa is going to be aser forever. So shouldn't we say that it's batel berov, and and why does the Brisa say afilu be'elef lo batel? So it says Gemara two other possibilities. V'chi tema beitza chashuva v'lo batla. Maybe you'll say no, a beitza is a chashuva item and therefore can't be batel. It's too chashuv to be batel. Well, hanich leman yamar kol shadak or limnos shaninu. That works very well if you assume that anything that is chashuv enough that people sometimes count it out, so then it makes sense that a beitza is going to be too chashuv to be batel, because sometimes people sell eggs by the the dozen. Sometimes they count out a specific number of eggs instead of just saying, here, take a bag of eggs without a given number to it. But if you hold that it has to be something, in order for it to be chashuv enough, it has to be something that you would only sell by number, by counting, well then why would eggs not be batel? Eggs wouldn't fit the qualification of being chashuv enough. Where do we find this machlokas? Eshadarko, kol shadarko. Ditznan, we have a Mishnah. Mishayilo chavili tiltan shel kilei akerem. If someone has bundles of kilei akerem, yidluku, he should light him, he should burn him. Nisavu bacheros, if they get mixed in with others, vacheros bacheros, and those others get mixed in with others, kulin yidluku divra meir. Meir's got to burn everything. Vacham romrim yalu bachsim asayim. Vacham say, it's batel in 200. Shai Rameir omer es shadarko limnos mekadesh. Rameir holds that anything that is es shadarko limnos, anything that is normally counted, so would ask for the tarovas. Chamram in a mekadesh al shishu dvar bilvad. The Chamram say no, there are only six things that are gonna not be bottle. And Rabbi Kiva or Shiva, Rabbi Kiva says seven. Veilu hein, and that specific list of items that are considered dvarim chashuvim are a gozei perech, rimoni badan, v'chavios stumos, v'chilfei tardin, v'kilchei karav, v'dulas yivanis, and Rabbi Kiva mosif afki karosha balabais. But anything that's not on that list is not considered a davar chashuv that will not be batel. Haroyla orla orla roila kilei karam, but things on that list, if it gets mixed in, if it's orla and it gets mixed in with other things, or it's kilei karam gets mixed in with other things, will not be batel. V'itmar Allah. So on that we said, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, what qualifies as a davar chashuv according to Rav Meir? According to Rav Meir, who holds that something that's countable is going to ask for the whole tarovus and is not going to be batel, is it es shadarko limnos or kol shadarko limnos? So says Gemara, hanichal Rabbi Shimon Lakish. There's one long way of asking the question. Our case works out well according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, el Rabbi Yochanan ma'ikal lemeimer. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that it's es shadarko limnos. So then, why is it that the beitza, that's a suffix trefa, is not going to be batel? After all, it's sometimes sold not by number, it's sometimes sold not by count, so it should not be considered a chashuv enough thing not to be batel. So Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with the third approach as to why it is that a beitza would not be batel.